Thank you so much. I'm grateful to Rabbi Torchiner and Rabbi Bergman for the opportunity to join you on behalf of the Morrises, on behalf of our entire community. We are incredibly touched by the sense of togetherness, the sense of Jewish togetherness that transcends boundaries, transcends international borders. And that sense of togetherness is expressed and communicated by this joint study of Tanakh that the Toronto community has taken on. As Jews, Tanakh is our axiological guide. Tanakh is our core. It's our moral compass. It's a source of guidance. As Rabbi Bergman quoted just a couple of minutes ago from the Navi Amos. And as a group, you've studied all 24 books of Tanakh from the largest to the smallest. I'm going to take a couple of moments together to explore the largest and the smallest. The book of Psalms, Tehillim, and the book of Rus, Megillas Rus, two which are not only unique in being the largest and the smallest, but also two that are perhaps the particularly of the moment lately. Tehillim has been such a central part of our prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, always, and over the last couple of weeks in particular. And of course, Megillas Rus is a central focus of what goes on in the tefillah over the course of the Yom Tov of Shavuos, which we celebrated just a week ago. Let's begin with Tehillim. A simple question, a very simple question. I'm sure Tehillim was split among many different members of the community. 150 chapters, 150 psalms. And there's such diversity. Some of them are happy and some of them are in fright and some are in mourning. In some, the psalmist is asking questions, and some he's saying thank you, sometimes he's saying please. Written by many different people over the course of centuries. Some are authored by David HaMelech, by David, who is the general editor of Tehillim, but many were authored by others. Some by more famous biblical figures like Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, and others by less famous figures like Asaph. What is Tehillim about? There's such diversity. What brings it together? What is the topic? What is the theme of Tehillim? It cuts every which way. Different authors, different centuries, different moods, different modes. What's it about? And now let's turn to the shortest book in the Tanakh, Megillas Rus. Megillas Rus, where a Medrash directs us to its theme. Megillas Rus is a rich, multi-layered story, and yet the Medrash says, despite all the different aspects of the drama and the plot and the subplot, Medrash tells us that the key focus of Rus is chesed, is kindness. Professor Feivel Meltzer points out his introduction to Rus, that if you consider the six identified characters in the story of Rus, there are three and three. There's, on the one hand, the primary characters, Naomi, her erstwhile daughter-in-law Rus, and Rus's second husband, Boaz. There are three other, and those seem to be the protagonists of the story. There are three other characters as well who are identified individually. There's Rus's counterpart, her sister-in-law Orpah, who takes care of Rus, of the, their mother-in-law Naomi, but ultimately leaves her and heads back home. And there's the foreman, Boaz's foreman at the field. And there's Boaz's counterpart on the family side, his cousin, Poloni Almoni, who refuses to take permanent care of Rus. And Professor Meltzer points out that the other three characters, they were good people. Good people who did what they needed to do, who behaved properly. Orpah was decent vis-a-vis her mother-in-law, as was the foreman, as was Boaz's cousin, Poloni Almoni. What distinguishes the three protagonists, Naomi, Rus, and Boaz, is chesed. Is chesed in the sense of going way above and beyond what's expected. Going way above and beyond, going the extra mile. Rus seeks to take care of Naomi, and Naomi seeks to take care of Rus. Later on, Rus and Boaz is taking care of the two of them, and Rus is interested in a marriage that would be best for the family, a marriage with Boaz, rather than perhaps some more obvious marriage partner. And the term chesed appears again and again. These are people who go above and beyond, and I would add, all three of them not only do chesed, but receive chesed. Rus does for Naomi and Naomi for Rus, and Rus for Boaz and Boaz for Rus and for Naomi. They're neither dependent people, nor are they independent people. Naomi, Rus, and Boaz are interdependent. They're a community built on chesed, a community built on taking care of each other in overflowing ways, not seeking just to check, just to check the boxes and do what they need to do, check in, check out. But people who are spiritually ambitious vis-a-vis one another. Spiritually ambitious in taking care of each other, and spiritually ambitious with the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the name of God, on their lips throughout. There's such a profound sense, a pervading sense throughout the book of Rus of divine purpose, a clarity of divine purpose on the part of all these three. And if you think about the story some more, it's not linear. It's not as though this one does chesed and therefore gets something else in return. But there's a community of chesed, a sense of taking care of one another and being joined with one another in an overflowing way. And there's an overall progress. That focus on chesed, despite all the pain that the book of Rus communicates, that sense of chesed and interdependent taking care of one another is what drives all of them forward, ultimately, to the legacy of David and the Messiah at the close of the book of Rus. And that sense of moving forward in hard times, easy times and hard times, with a sense of God on one's lips, is probably the driving force coming back to Tehillim as well. Because we said before, Tehillim is such a radical mix of moods and modes and happy and sad and thank you and please and why, and written over the course of centuries, what ties Tehillim together is that almost every single chapter, God is in second person. Whether I understand what's happening, I don't understand what's happening, I'm saying please, I'm saying thank you, I'm happy, I'm sad, but invariably Tehillim redirects us towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It redirects us towards Hashem. In every mood and in every mode, whether it's the daytime, the daylight of my life, or it's the nighttime of my life, on a personal sense or on a communal sense, on a national sense, but Tehillim keeps turning us back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether I'm ready for a thank you or it's time for a please. The truth is it's captured in this week's Torah reading as well. We read about a remarkable musical instrument, the silver trumpets, the chatzotros, which Moshe is charged by God to create, to fabricate in advance of the march from Sinai to Israel. And he's told something exceptional about these trumpets. They're used for everything. They're used to call people together to learn Torah. They're used to call people together to travel. They're used in times of crisis. And they're used on Yom Tovim festivals in times of joy. And that's part of the secret of the Jew, is that that same trumpet can express so many different emotions. The Tanakh that we have learned teaches us that lesson, that we can express so many different emotions in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With a focus on chesed, with a focus on overwhelming, overflowing giving, is seeking to go above and beyond what's expected. I'm so awash in memories of Dani, as Rabbi Bergman mentioned. My family and I have many, many dimensions and layers of connection with Dani and with his family. And he was so inspiring. And he's been so publicly inspiring over the last couple of weeks that he was inspiring for months and years before. And he was a remarkable paradox because if you knew him, he was one of the more reserved boys in my 12th grade class last year. One of the more reserved boys with such an outsized positive impact. He wasn't loud, and he wasn't in the slightest attention-seeking. He was instead incredibly genuine. He really cared about other people. and he really cared about his Torah learning and about his spiritual growth. And without being loud, he cared. He was persistent, and he made change. A fellow student remarked to me a couple of weeks ago, after Donnie's passing, this student was combing through the school's collection, online collections of pictures, looking for pictures of Donnie. And over the course of 4 years' worth of pictures, he found around 200 pictures in all sorts of different contexts, formal, informal, you know, extracurricular events, just around in the hallway with friends. And the student pointed out to me that one of the really remarkable things about the collection of pictures of Donnie is that he felt like in every picture, Donnie's with a different group of boys. He wasn't locked into one clique. He wasn't locked into one small group of friends. He was always with someone else. He brought people in. He brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu in. He brought people in. He was the guy who made sure the softball was serious. And he made sure that everyone was included. And he made sure that the games were played in a way that reflected our divine mission. He brought people in. He brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu into his life and to the lives of the people around him. And these are some of the lessons. Some of the lessons of Tanakh modeled for us by Dani, Zichron Levracha, Nachman Daniel, Ben Yivada L'chaim Tovim Aryeh Tzvi. Some of the lessons of how we can make positive change going forward. I want to thank you again for allowing me to join you. I want to once again thank Rabbi Torchiner, Rabbi Bergman, and the entire Kollel. I want to thank the entire community, the entire Toronto community. This means a lot. It means a lot to be together. It means a lot not to feel lonely. And I wish you and us that we continue to work together in Mirtz Hashem in positive times and in positive ways. Thank you so much.